Alice Johnston, and today on Lifestyle, our guest is Dr. Shamla McLaurin, Senior Program Manager of Behavioral Health Services at Catholic Charities. Welcome, Shamla.
Hi, Alice, and thank you for having me.
Can you tell us the exact type of services provided in the behavioral health program?
Sure. We offer routine outpatient treatment for mental and behavioral health issues. That's offered in all of our locations statewide. We also offer mobile therapy and therapeutic support for families. That's provided primarily to children who have been identified as needing a higher level of care by the state's Department of Prevention and Behavioral Health. The referrals for those specific programs come from the state's department, and that's offered in all of our offices as well. We also offer domestic violence services through our Batterer Intervention Program. That program offers groups for batterers and offenders of domestic violence. That's offered in our Wilmington office right now. We're hoping to expand that in the future. And lastly, we offer an education program for those interested in getting a certification as a drug and alcohol counselor. And those classes are held in our Wilmington location as well.
You mentioned Catholic Charities offices. Where are those located?
Catholic Charities has offices in Wilmington. That's the main office. We also have an office in Dover, Georgetown, and we have an office in Princess Anne, Maryland. I should mention also that the primary behavioral health service offered in our Princess Anne office is just the routine outpatient counseling. And also one thing I forgot to mention, Alice, is that we also offer psychiatric services in all of our locations as well.
I'm not familiar with telepsychiatry. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. When you think about psychiatric care, telepsychiatry, telemedicine is a relatively new approach to performing psychiatric services. It kind of started for individuals that live in remote areas that didn't really have access to treatment. And it's really expanding. It's really growing. Catholic Charities got into telepsychiatry last year after one of our psychiatrists retired who had been with us for many years. And we were introduced to telepsychiatry. We looked into it, and we've now started that as a service. We have that service in our Wilmington office and now in our Dover office. It's different for people, but so far the response to it has been very well.
And do they call in to the telepsychiatrist? How does that work exactly?
Well, telepsychiatry is performed via video conference. So whether it's a doctor or whether it's a nurse practitioner, they could be next door, they could be five states away. And you can sit down with them and have your normal psychiatric session with them via teleconference. A lot of the other administrative things, like maybe taking your blood pressure or things like that, are done by our administrative staff in office. And then we share that information with the doctor so that they are well equipped when it comes time for your appointment.
That sounds really convenient for some.
It definitely is. And telepsychiatry is just one form of telemedicine. There are a lot of different forms, but it really has made, I think, access to services, particularly for people who live in areas where they don't have that or they don't have transportation, it really has made a difference for them to be able to get those services via teleconference.
What are some of the barriers people experience when attempting to access behavioral health care services?
That depends. I mean, there are a lot of different barriers to those services. I think the availability of the services in the area where you live has always been a huge barrier. That's kind of why the telepsychiatry, telemedicine initiative is really taking off. Transportation, even that's a barrier for some of our clients in Wilmington, just transportation to get to services. And we try to assist with that when we can. Financial and insurance reasons can also be a barrier. Some insurances still do not cover mental health care services. And most of the time, it's those individuals that can't afford to pay for the services out of pocket. They may have insurance, it's not covered by their insurance, but their financial situation doesn't allow them to pay out of pocket. Fortunately for, I think, all of us, there was an expansion in Medicaid that opened up a lot of doors for people to have better access to services. So that really made a difference for a lot of folks. Another important barrier to mention is the stigma that is attached to seeking mental health services. Unfortunately, there's still a lot of stigma around that for a lot of people and for various different reasons. I think, you know, the mental health field has really done everything it can and still does try to eliminate that stigma. One of the important things I think people will probably didn't notice but may notice is that a lot of services or a lot of agencies now will refer to their services as behavioral health, where in the past they referred to them as mental health. So the change in the language, you know, a universal change in that language was really kind of spearheaded by the mental health professionals to say, hey, we want to remove the stigma. So let's maybe changing the language will take away some of that stigma. So I think now more and more you see these services referred to in a different way.
You mentioned financial and insurance reasons can be a barrier to treatment. Is there anything Catholic Charities does specifically to assist the individuals who are experiencing these difficulties?
Sure. Catholic Charities offers a sliding fee scale based on income. And we recognize that even though, you know, an individual may have a certain income that then produces a certain fee, they may not be able to afford the fee. So we take it a step further and we offer reductions to those fees. So we do everything we can to make the services affordable to everyone that walks through the door. We're always seeking donations and grant opportunities to kind of help us do that. Because when we offer sliding fee scale, when we offer reductions, it essentially means that we're not collecting the payment that we would normally collect for those types of services. So, and being a nonprofit, that's always a difficult thing to negotiate. But we definitely try to do everything we can to make the services affordable.
And I understand that people with mental health issues are more likely to have a tough time finding a good job or keeping one. And as a result, that means they are less likely to have health insurance that enables them to get treatment. What are some common mental health problems among individuals who are living in poverty?
I think anyone battling with daily economic issues or health concerns, that by itself can certainly be a challenge, but particularly for those who also experience mental and behavioral health issues. It's not uncommon for individuals who are kind of caught in that cycle of poverty to experience acute stress, despair, depression, anxiety, that sense of loss of self-worth, chronic hopelessness. A lot of times individuals in those situations get involved with substance abuse, so that can also be a problem. It's difficult when you're trapped in kind of this cycle of poverty and you're also experiencing, you know, mental health issues, behavioral health concerns, parenting issues. It seems like it's, you know, it's just one thing compounded on top of the next. So it definitely can create to be unhealthy when you think about mental health.
If you're just joining us, this is Lifestyle, and I'm Alice Johnston, and our guest today is Dr. Shamla McLaurin, Senior Program Manager of Behavioral Health Services at Catholic Charities. Statistics suggest that minority populations are less likely to seek mental health care. How do you think we can eliminate the stigma or lack of information that fosters this problem?
I don't think there's really any one answer to that question. I think a lot of minority populations in particular, it has to do with their culture, how they grew up, what they were brought up to believe. For instance, some cultures really rely on the elders, the seniors in the family. They are the counselors. You take the elders all your problems and basically what they say is gold, you know. So that's just some cultures. I know other cultures really rely on the church and having a relationship with a higher power. That's their therapy. So there's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. I'm certainly not opposed to that. I think we have to take advantage of the resources we have available to us. We've got to keep people informed about what this treatment involves, what the goals of it are, really kind of empower people the best way we can through increased knowledge, letting people know also that, you know, there's nothing shameful or weak about asking for help when you're experiencing mental health problems. And if you have a family or a friend, family member or friend who may be experiencing those problems, really be encouraging of them in terms of seeking help. A lot of times we don't do things because we fear that the people we love are going to judge us. So when you know there's someone in your life that may be experiencing those problems, be encouraging of them getting that professional help.
How does Catholic Charities Behavioral Health Services help?
Well, I mentioned before the sliding fee scale that we offer for counseling services. We also, in the beginning, we talked about our education program for alcohol and drug counseling. We will offer scholarships for that program when we have funds available. And the whole idea behind that program is to increase the number of health professionals out there. You know, we want to be adding to the field at the same time that we're working in the field. We take advantage of opportunities to collaborate with community partners. We will go to health fairs, we'll go do presentations, try to educate people not only about Catholic Charity services, but in particular about mental health treatment and professional mental health treatment as opposed to some of the other things that may be out there. So we're always trying to educate people. We're always trying to collaborate just to kind of help spread the word.
I'm sure there are many who have benefited from receiving behavioral health services at Catholic Charities. Would you like to share one or two of your success stories with us?
The first person that always comes to mind for me is a little girl that we had participating in our mobile therapy service. She was receiving mobile therapy and therapeutic support for families. She was suffering from severe anxiety issues coupled by post-traumatic stress, but she also had a dual diagnosis in that she experienced intellectual and developmental disabilities as well. She was in foster care. So when she first came to us, sweetest little thing, she was so shy. She just didn't have any confidence, though. It was hard for her to function at school. It was hard for her to function even in her foster home because she was just very shy, afraid, and her disability also interfered with her ability to function. So we work with her, you know, two or three times a week, the team did, and not only in the home, but at school and in the community. And she just made tremendous strides. Her confidence grew, her social skills improved. She adjusted to her foster home, which is difficult for any child in the foster care system who often go from home to home. She really made an adjustment to the home that she was in, and that foster mother decided to adopt her in the end. So that was really great news for all of us. We got to the point where she was going to start a new school, and previously she would have been terrified, but she was excited. She was excited to meet friends, and, you know, we could take her to the park and she'd run off. We'd have to chase her because she'd run off and play, where before she would be clinging to our leg. So you could just see the differences in her over time. So we were all very proud of her. Because she was a referral through the Department of Prevention and Behavioral Health, she was essentially receiving a higher level of care. So once she made all that progress, we were actually able to step her down into our regular routine outpatient program, which is great for us. We always try to find ways to offer that continuum of care. And in her case, we were really able to do that. So even after she got discharged from that level of service, she was able to remain with Catholic Charities, still had the same doctor, and the familiarity of the surroundings was very important for her with her disabilities. And her foster mother, soon to be adoptive mother, was very grateful for that opportunity as well. So that's one that we're very proud of. We talk about her still. That was a while ago, but we miss her still.
Wow, that's really remarkable, the growth and progress that you witnessed, you and your team. So that's fantastic. And how can people help?
Well, the primary way that individuals can help the behavioral health services is through donations. We're committed to offering services to individuals who are uninsured or underinsured. So when we get donations, when we're able to get grants, they can go toward helping us in our ability to do that. It keeps our staff employed. It keeps the people coming through the door and providing services. And people have to keep in mind, too, that a lot of insurances have limits on the amount of care that you can get. I know, just having worked with children, that Medicaid will only offer 30 sessions a year for children. So when we have funding, when we have donations and grants and things like that, that child doesn't necessarily have to stop treatment at 30 sessions if they haven't met their goals. And so that's part of the reason that we're always looking for additional funds.
Is there a website?
Sure, ccwilm.org.
So what message would you like to leave our listeners?
I would just say, there's nothing selfish or shameful about taking care of your own health. If you are struggling with any type of behavioral health, mental health, relational, substance abuse, parenting, behavioral issues in your children, if you're having those challenges, seek professional help. Catholic Charities is just one of the many places that offers that type of help. You can contact our offices near you, wherever you happen to live, and you can get more information on those services. I'll give you the number for our main office in Wilmington. It's 302-655-9624. So if I had to leave individuals with anything, it would just be that to recognize there's nothing shameful about taking care of ourselves. You are better in the lives of those that you love when you're healthy.
Well, this has been very informative and enlightening. I'd like to thank our guest, Dr. Shamla McLaurin, the Senior Program Manager of Behavioral Health Services at Catholic Charities, and they have sites throughout the state of Delaware and Princess Anne, Maryland. Dr. Shamla McLaurin, thank you again.
Thank you, Alice. Thanks for having me. It was great.